Acts 22, reading from verse 1 to verse 16, up to verse 17, actually. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now known unto you. When they heard that he spoke in a Hebrew tongue to them, they kept more quiet. And he said, I am verily a man who is a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye are this day. And I persecuted this way, and I stop here a little bit to emphasize this again, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them who were there bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come near unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. When I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews who dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Father, these are thy words, they are words of truth. Sanctify us in this truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are people that I have read who have witnessed in the agony moments of a great rejection, so to speak, the presence of Jesus. They say they have seen him bodily next to him, comforting them and giving them strength. Samuel, before he grew up, he was a little tyke in the Old Testament, and the Lord appeared to him. What does it mean to our average reader, even to us Christians, that Jesus stood, God stood next to little Samuel. After he had heard his voice and mistakenly thought that it was Eli that was calling him. And now, by the words of Eli, who was old and poor of sight, he stayed put and said, "Lord, speak, thy servant hears." A little boy in his vestments and what we may see next to the ark. How do I understand that? Not in a temple, so to speak, but in Siloam, where temple was what it was, a tabernacle. And a Samuel, how simply things were done in a way. But there was God and spoke to him personally. When God calls, he calls by name. He knows each one of us, even that we may be in a crowd. And even in church, he talks to you. And you seem to know he's talking to you. That's what calling is. He has called me by the gospel. He has enlightened me by his gifts. Arvo, Ritva, Gwen, Travis, Dennis, Janet, down the line. Ah, Bruce, I feel good that I know some names here. Oh, Lord is so good. There's another man that Lord appeared to. And this is Saul, later known as Paul in Greek. But he was a businessman, though very religious. What enticed him? What temptations did he have in life when he wanted to do the best possible for human being to gain heaven and a favor of God? He thought he was on the right road. The way. Now we come to the way that is right seemingly to a man. But the ends thereof are the ways of death. And in the Bible, Jesus speaks about that way as a broad way. The broad is the gate, and it tolerates anything. Except that you disagree with one you talk to. There used to be more civil attitude. Now it has become simply, "You're my enemy," when you don't think like I do. But on that wide road, that's where we are captured by the gospel. Because Lord speaks to us, very few are they that care less about God. Most of it are, they are religious people. But God cannot have a preeminence. We still lean on something. And Apostle Paul was in the midst of his tremendous holiness. He was a Pharisee. It's the strictest, what we may say, sect of a Jewish faith. Pharisee. But the law came to him, as he talks later in his life. But when a commandment came, otherwise, Lord's law is spiritual, and I am carnal. Now I become a spiritual a sense that I know Lord is speaking to me and is touching what I am inside. What man thinks, so he is. And a law came to Apostle Paul, who would say to people as touching the law, "Perfect. And now, thou shalt not covet." That simply means don't have a lust. And how is this word coveting and lust bind together? Because at that moment we leave God and his counsel and we lean on our own understanding. And that is what we may say when I was a child, I thought as a child, I talked as a child, I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, who made you a man? In Israel, it's kind of odd for me that I speak here and I read and I think and I allow me to say rejoice and at times I cry because of my own shortcomings. But I think about these things and they come from a side and they mix me up and I end up on a side roads and I take all the preaching time on these side roads and I kind of forget the text. But it is important for us to see how every man is tempted. He is drawn away in his own lust. He is enticed not to take God as he has revealed himself seriously. Till he calls you by name, pulls you aside, and you know you are dealing with God. And God appeared, Jesus, to Saul, to Paul also. First in this light that stopped him in his tracks. You thinking, yeah, you know the way to teach others way to God. But it all hinges on your understanding how you take God to be. And God has come, has revealed himself and his life in this, how he loves people. You were present when Ananias came. Who touched Ananias? But you were present when Stephen, before that, spake of Jesus. And you guarded the people's clothing, that they didn't want to get their clothing defiled because they were involved killing a person who was speaking the truth. And you may say, yes, yes. And now he's on his way as he tells, no, 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 no to that way. They have rejected living God. They done away with him as they saw, please, in their zeal for right religion. And not knowing what spirit was guiding them. That's not the way God is. And a man will say, we don't want to serve this man. Crucify him. What change took place in this man, Saul, when he saw that light? It was no more arrogance and know-it-all. It was simply, who art thou, Lord? Because he heard Saul, Saul. In vain you are kicking against the truth. And this is the moment. Not all people are like Saul. We know that there are people who walk away when Jesus brought the truth. And God forbid, my Christian friends, in John chapter 6, we read some of the disciples, many of them, that left Jesus when Jesus said, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part of me. Who is speaking like that? They left Jesus. And some ways we may understand it, but not from the standpoint where we are today. Forever we need to thank God that he has enlightened us with his gifts, that we can say yes to God instead of no, that we are willing to humble ourselves and be not people who can save themselves. That's one of the things of Islam, Mohammedanism, is this, that I don't need a religion like that. I can save myself. Alone. God resisted the proud. He gives his grace to the humble. And when I say, Lord, like Saul, there is hope. Because those are the first rays of that light that begin to shine into the heart. He was willing to be guided to Damascus, where he will be told what will happen. And later he witnessed Lord's appearance to him. And I may say the third person that has witnessed this, that I like to bring out others too, but I don't know them that well, so to speak. But I know Richard Wurmbrand. He is the one who started the Voice of the Martyrs, who in a deep dungeon underground, half dead, so tortured, tells that Jesus came to visit me. And in his conditions, he could rejoice and pray for the guards and those that persecuted the truth. In some ways, we may say we encounter God every time we are breathing. But to Christian, it is pray always. You know you are dealing with God and the presence of God when against your own resentments and hurts, you can pray for people that hurt you. Now and then who am I to say these things, but I share this with you. I find people who have a hard time forgiving. Am I one of them? And maybe some especially who have been hurt in childhood by their own dad or relative. And a living witness that Jesus is with you. When you can give it to God and you can pray for the ones that hurt you. Because that is the day when you are set free to love. Apostle Paul, here, Saul, Luke, who has written these things as a three testimonies of Paul or Saul. Most likely, he accompanied later on in the mission journey a Greek doctor, medicine, physical healing. And the first one is when Paul most likely told him exactly what happened on a road to Damascus. The second one is here, when he's telling his fellow man who are so angry the way he's walking and talking, telling these religious people that you gone astray. You on a wrong road. And they are so angry that they would tear him apart. But he's rescued by a high army officer that Romans had a garrison next to the temple area. And when a commotion rose, what Apostle Paul apparently had spoken to in a Gentile land about the Jews, so to speak, and converted to Christianity, that they were very upset. They were spies that were telling these things. They were false witnesses as against Jesus, so against Apostle Paul. And they were so angry at Saul. I don't know which way to use it. Let's just use Paul here. That they took him from the temple area out and they closed the gates. There are gates that surround the temple area, the courts. And no Gentile was allowed to go in there at the peril of death. And now they toss him out and close these gates. He has defiled the temple. And they would have torn him apart without any conscience problems. Like Apostle Paul, when he went after Christians in Damascus. He had no conscience when he put his thumb down and they were to Jerusalem. Men and women, and some were put to death. This is his third testimony that came later, where both these last two, most likely Luke, Dr. Luke, was present. Eyewitness. And last one was before King Agrippa. It's, in a way, varies a little bit what happened. But here we find some peculiar things, because what happened, there was commotion in this temple area because this was the last time that Paul was to see Jerusalem and a temple especially. But anyway, that he would be taken to Rome then eventually. But here is that captain he had in charge, 1,000 men, what you may say, a sixth part of a legion. Legion is 6,000 soldiers, or we may say horsemen and javelin men and everything else between. But anyway, he had in charge 1,000 men, and they were housed, beside others, in this fortress Antonia, garrison. And there's this commotion, so they come, what's happening? And they know about the riots and false prophets and all that, riling up people. And they captured Paul. He most likely so bad of a criminal, they put 2 sets of chains on him. But they get so violent as they're being carried away. They're carried, actually. The only way to save him was to carry him by soldiers away. And when they get to the steps of this fortress, he's asking captain, a high-ranking officer, that allow me to speak. And there he opens his mouth and speaks in Hebrew. And a captain listens. I thought you were a Greek. He spoke Greek and Hebrew. But he spoke Hebrew to his own people. And they was quiet. And now he brings what has happened to him. There's so much in this text. Bear with me. I'm going to go a couple of things. We may say, Paul, you could not convert yourself to this new way. Natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him. And that's the way he took Christianity to be. It is a madness. Other thoughts would come, but I have to say next time. But here I may say, natural man, Everyone that commits sin is bond servant of sin. What does that mean? You're serving the master who owns you. He is not subject to the law of God. He is born of the flesh and is therefore flesh. And mind of death is enmity of God. Period. Regardless what religious title man has. Now, Christianity is not just religion, but Christianity is religion to many people, in which they measure other people. And natural man is dead in their trespasses and sins, in his trespasses and sins, his blindness. How does such a man bring to himself a knowledge that I am on a wide road and on a way to eternal perdition? It takes God's intervention. And when God calls, he also gives that power from which faith comes and also repentance. Neither one is natural man able to give to himself. But he can say as he is, no to God, even to the truth. Because the truth is such a thing, when we are natural, we look at things of truth through our own understanding. And our own understanding is the highest in a totem pole. That's how we measure things. That's how liberal measure things. That's how rational human being measures things. And God is spirit. So in this way then, the gospel is being brought to Apostle Paul. Remarkable. He later talks about it in this text and earlier the circumstances in which the place took place. But I'm going to leave this morning you with the thought that Apostle Paul had seemingly no fear of what man can do to him. And yet he speaks about it or writes about fears within and out. I rejoice when Pastor Jay at times says, I also am a man. It is not a shame to us to tell God and even others the struggles we have even as Christians. God alone knows what a blessing it is to those that are walking on the same road, the narrow road, having gone through the narrow gate, impossible to man, but possible to God. When we talk truth with one another, because that's when a body is drawn together, then that's when a mother comes to a child that cries. And when we talk about things we have, we simply have a voice I need. Every day, every hour, I need thee. Draw closer. It is wonderful to be a Christian. Now, in closing, little child would say sometime when a sermon is long, said, say amen, daddy. That was Nathan Juntunen when he was a little boy in Esko, when our father kind of forgot the amen word. He was waiting to that word, amen. And our son Marty, when he was small, when I said amen in Franklin Street Church, he would. Oh, the truth. But in Mark chapter 3, I think it is, Jesus is in a synagogue and there's a man with a withered hand. You can tell him all you want. Do the normal things. It's withered. And they are observing Jesus whether he will heal on a Sabbath day. And he reads their thoughts, what they really are. Oh, and the devil doesn't like that. He puts on more religious garb, more that holiness that has that air in it. But to God, it stinks. And he's grieved and even angry. They care about these things more than a human being. In his circumstances of life that he cannot change. And he turns to this man and tells him, raise your hand. He tells, rise what cannot be raised by his own power. Rise your hand. Sorry. Raise your hand. A man raises his hand. That is when God says, Saul, Saul. That is when you hear him. And you know, today he talks to you. And he wants you to go and be humble enough to ask, what are the words? Ananias had words, receive your sight, and then be baptized, your sins washed away. I remember Michael Carrier, Pastor Carrier from Nakaune. We had a convention and we had some discussions like Christians sometimes have in our denominational struggles and how we understand things. And I remember him quoting this verse from Acts 22:16. And he says, there is forgiveness in baptism. Regardless what you say, the word of God says so. If I have faith to believe it, which God gives, am I to go against God and say no? And it is not limited to age. It's simply a sign to me, you are God's possession. And when you are God's, your sins are taken care of. Through means that God has left for us Christians. Preaching, sacraments, mutual communion with Christians. Let no one. Oh, here Arvo goes again, but Arvo goes a little over time. But when you have a child, when you, regardless how old you are, can you forgive me? Isa, daddy, said some harsh words. Can you forgive your daddy? And a child may not use what we may say theological terminology so well, but what they do is they hug you. They hug you. And through that conveys forgiveness. A And thank be unto God when we Christians, even in marriage, when we turn to one another sometime, when we only have our backs against one another, we finally turn. Can you forgive me? In midst of our tears, they are no longer bitter. Now they are different kinds of tears. And in that light and thunder and everything, there's that nitrogen. I used that word, I talked with Travis a while ago, and it's life-giving power of God, forgiveness. We are blessed when we need forgiveness and say it often. Arvo has come to an end. There must be something else, but Arvo say, amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your living word, the word that reaches those that are dead, and brings life to their soul, and gives power to their limbs, and power to their thinking. But above all, Lord, you give us power to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. For you are precious. And in this way, though it is narrow, you open up things to us that we never knew existed. You bring happiness to our step, and you bring new spirit to conversations with which we talk to our fellow man. For when we have an attitude of prayer, we don't want to appear as haughty and know it all. We simply speak as one. Jesus loves you. Whether words are said, our spirit will convey it. Lord, thank you of your presence, though invisible, yet so mighty and living with these words of life, these words of life. As we depart, may we know that the mission field is before us. We cannot change that. But this world needs thy light and thy answer for human problems. You have given it to us, and you increase increase the understanding of it in our hearts. And we just want to praise you and thank you. The new song that you have put into our heart, for Jesus, you are worthy. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. Lord, make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.